Okay. So after a couple of minor technical difficulties, our next, actually our final speaker in this track for this afternoon is Yi Mao. She's the lab director at ATSEC. She's got a PhD in mathematical logic and a master's degree in computer science from University of Texas, Austin. And then as lab director, she oversees and performs lead role in testing of things in both FIPS 140-2 and Common Criteria. And she has a presentation for us this afternoon called, Must Keys Be Encrypted?
Thank you for your introduction, Jonathan. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to put the full screen here. Okay, welcome to my presentation. I know that this is the last one of the day, and especially the first day of the conference, and a lot of information flowing here. You see many familiar faces. You want to social, you want to talk, so must be tired. And I will try to make the presentation a little bit entertaining as well. We will see what's going to happen in the next 15 minutes. Okay, just in case for some of the new audience coming to this international conference, and we will talk about the crypto module as such, the CSPs, SSPs, the FIPS, and the electronic distribution, electronic entry. So I just want to throw, you know, the list of acronyms together just in case if some of those showing up on my slides and kind of blocking you from understanding it. Being working in this field, dealing with acronyms is kind of part of our daily work. But for some new people, because the conference is enlarging, it's growing, and I just want to have that first slide up there. My plan is that I'm going to study with you to take you a journey of looking into the key management requirement in the FIPS 140-2 and the IG77 that elaborates the key management requirement in the FIPS 142 and the recent problems that we discovered, and want to share the proposed updates to the IG7.7. Nothing is set in stone yet. It's open for discussion. You can like it, not like it. I think the message here is let's look at the problem and look at the proposed solutions and gather the information and the input from this golden opportunity. Then we will switch the gear a little bit and look at the key management requirement in the ISO IEC 19790 standard. And in the ISO standard, key management section was called SSP, and SSP stands for Sensitive Security Parameter. It includes the crypto, the critical security parameter and the public security parameter, like public key. Then we will see if the proposed IG7.7 is still applicable, if the FIPS 140-2 moving towards the ISO standard for the successor of 40-2. And I just want to remind all that attending this presentation, things to be aware of while we are preparing for the transitioning to the ISO standard. Okay, so as I said, I know that it's one full day of intensive information, absorbing, digesting, exchanging, and key management topic is definitely a heavy duty topic. So I need to get your full attention before we can start the discussion. And in order to achieve that, let's look at a clip. If you could close
the door. Good evening from the Muslinger Auditorium in Technology Town, USA. I am Wolf Lightningrod, the CMUF news correspondent, and I welcome you to the 2016 United States presidential debate between Mr. Hercules Legend, the FIPS 140-2 nominee, and Ms. Zipper Futura, the ISO 19790 nominee. Tonight's debate will be about cryptographic module validation issues, which is of vital importance to national and cyberspace security. Candidates, welcome to you both. Let the debate begin with opening statements. Mr. Legend,
This 140-2 has been extremely successful, with more than 2,600 validated cryptographic modules. If I am the next president, the American people will not face a chaotic transition that looks good in theory, but lacks an implementation plan.
This is 2016. It's time to adopt the ISO standard. I am confident that the American people, along with our Canadian allies, are ready for CMVP reform, which will let our nation regain leadership in cyberspace. I ask for your vote for the future of America.
ISO 19790 and its companion standards are very expensive. How can you expect a broad use of this set of standards if people do not have access to it?
If I become the president, I will make it free for everyone.
Nothing is free, Dipa. That's taxpayers' money. The middle class will be buried with a huge tax increase, or our nation's debt will skyrocket.
Calm down, Mr. Legend. Now breathe.
Missed fees for cryptographic module validation are yet to be increased again. What impact will it bring to the overall validation program?
It will create new jobs to hire more CMVP reviewers. The review pending queue will be significantly shortened.
I will promote vendor affirmation rather than just shortening the queue like my opponent Lying Legend claims. I will eliminate it entirely.
What are the major differences between the two of you regarding how you would go about security requirements?
ISO eliminates the dependency on common criteria, removes FCC requirements, reduces post-cost, and allows the degraded mode. Mr. Legend apparently wants to make achieving FIPS validation very difficult while making systems insecure.
Your vendor affirmation will destroy the security. You're the only insecure thing here, Dipa. I emphasize the physical boundary. I will build a great wall to secure it. Mark my words. Within the wall, keys can come in plain text. How about you? You require keys to be encrypted when crossing the logical boundary. Difficult requirement to meet.
Okay, are we all awake? Yes, do I have your attention? So, I guess no. I think now we are ready to dive in, and I can bore you a little bit with all this wordings in standard, okay? So now, must keys be encrypted according to FIPS 140-2? FIPS standard has a nice summary in the table, and I just cut and paste the sections from section 7, crypto key management. And here I highlighted in blue, and you see for the level 1 and the level 2, the secret and the private keys established using the manual methods may be entered or output in plain text form. And for the level 3 and the level 4, secret private keys established using manual methods should be entered or output encrypted or with split knowledge procedure. So you see the difference. And here we're all talking about the manual methods. For level 1 and 2, plain text is okay. For level 3 and 4, has to be either encrypted or use a split knowledge procedure. And the following text is just to emphasize that. In the contrast, for the automated method, for all four levels, the secret and the private keys entering, leaving the boundary in the automated method must be encrypted. Okay, so the difference is really in the manual method. And now when you consider whether keys need to be encrypted or not, the first thing you really have to think is this manual method or automated. So I really want to find a precise definition from the standard, right? Because that is a dividing line and it makes a whole lot of difference whether you can get the key in and out in plain text or you must encrypt it. So I look through the standard and here's all I found. There's a couple of examples, like in the parentheses, for example, and the terms are not quite exactly defined. You can see something close enough like manual transport method, So I would assume manual transport methods is one of the manual methods. What are the other methods? Okay, so key loaders is one example of the manual methods. And automated methods like key transport or the key agreement protocols. For the automated key transport, it's a little bit begging the question here, basically saying, oh, the transport of cryptography keys usually in encrypted form. And here, I really want to highlight that is this part of definition, or it's just an observation, because you don't want to drag that into part of your definition when you talk about automated. Okay, but anyway, that is a definition that we need to live with because the standard is 15 years old, and what we can do about it is just, okay, read it and try to make the best sense of it. So IG 7.7, I think, was trying to really help with what is not clear in the standard. Okay, and the resolution provided by the IG 7.7 was basically, okay, using the following guidance first, determine how keys are established to a module. Once the establishment method is determined, then the key entry format table that I will show you a bit later will indicate the requirements on how key shall be entered or output, meaning that whether it has to be encrypted or using a split knowledge procedure, or it was okay to just use the plain text format. Okay. So the intention of the IG 7.7 is really good, you know. But when you look at the guidance and the examples provided by the IG 7.7, it answers some questions, but generates more questions. You look at the example, look at the labels here, and it introduced different terms. For example, menu distribution, which was not in the section 7. And my question here is key establishment equals distribution plus entry? Does this equation hold here? And these examples and diagrams help us to have the intuitive understanding of, you know, the meaning of the words put in the paragraph. But again, when you look at these examples, is the menu equal to local? If you have the direct keyboard, you have the direct key loader, so that is a menu entry. And if you go across the network in between two computers, and that seems to be electronic. So is the electronic entry distribution equal to using the computer network? Is the electronic equal to automated? If you look at this slide, there's nowhere mentioning about automated. But the standard making a dividing line between the automated method versus manual methods. And the IG tried to give you some example explanation about what manual methods and try to say the establishment, but it introduced other things. So that makes things even harder, right? No criticism to the IG. It's, you know, the way we work with. I just want to, you will notice my slide is all copy and paste from standard and highlight the wordings I want you to notice. I did not try to rephrase it because otherwise you think I may, you know, make up something. Okay, so the slides will be quite busy. Yes, I try to use up all the space and make it readable as well. Luckily, we have very big screen for this conference. It's nice. So, when the problem, IG has been 7.7 has been like that for a long while, and I think people were happy with kind of accepting you have a little bit gray area, but we understand what it is, okay, by convention. And the problem was discovered quite lately, was last year in September, when there was a quite recent IG 120 subchip cryptography subsystem get updated by adding the cross on how the key management and the key entry, key output is supposed to be done by referencing to the IG 7.7. When the IG 120 was first published back in 2014, there was no specific statement about key management, okay? And I guess some questions was raised because this is a new type of the module, which is known as subchip modules. So how you handle the key management, and that's why it gets updated. and the update of the IG reference back to IG 7.7, and that draw our attention back to 7.7 because here this IG 120 says, according to the IG 7.7, the key establishment entry and exit is considered as EDEE. Remember, I give the acronyms. E means electronic. Electronic distribution, electronic entry. You want to see menu. If it's electronic, we are dead. Meaning that it must be encrypted. So now imagine if you have two hardware components sitting on the same single chip boundary, and one provides the random number to the other that does the AES encryption. So the random number output has been encrypted, and the receiver part of the hardware component has to decrypt that first before it can use for the AES encryption. And the chip is not really designed in that way. It's not. You can ask all the chip manufacturers sitting here. But when the IG was come out like that, it's really an outcry in the industry, and we as a lab feel the pain in the first place, because when they talk, call me, right? So, and that makes me to go back and look at IG 7.7. I really want to see what's exactly wording there and what is the role that is referenced over there. And this update does give an exception. It says transferring the CSPs, meaning that crypto security parameters, between two disjoint subchip, I will make it short, subchip modules, can be done through the trusted path according to IG 2.1, okay? And I will talk about that exception, what it is about, if it's applicable. But let's first of all go back to look at the IG 7.7, the table first. So in that 7.7, yes, I did find a row, the third one highlighted in yellow text, and that is the one showing its electronic distribution, electronic entry for the internal crypto module hardware to from application software via the general purpose computer internal path. Okay, and that is this row from the IG 7.7 was referenced in the IG 120. And that is really caused the trouble for some chip manufacturers to be compliant with. But if you look above, there's similar things for the software. And the software crypto module to from application software via the GPC internal path, the requirement of key establishment in and out not applicable. And we all know in practice that there's so many software libraries has been FIPS validated and key in and out in plain text. Right? Yes, yes, yes. So what is really going on here? Now, there's asymmetric treatment of the crypto module software and the crypto module hardware. At least that is a fact. Is it intended? Is it accidental? I don't know. Maybe when I get the feedback when I first present that at the manager's meeting, you know, people stay with CMP long enough told me that actually that is intended. It's not a problem, okay? But I just want to highlight what I observe, okay? And for the not applicable software module with that requirement, it's perfectly fine to have the key CSPs in out of the crypto module in plain text. However, for the hardware module and going through the same internal path, and you're requiring to have that encrypted. And what's the consequences here? I'm sorry, I have some overlapping thing, but I can explain. The first consequence would be, you know, it breaks the interoperability. And nowadays, you have an application and it uses a software crypto library do the AES encryption for you. And now you have the hardware accelerator available in your box and you want to utilize the hardware acceleration for the AES. And from the software application point of view, you should just do a single switch, right? It shouldn't have any impact on your APIs. It should be transparent just for the improving your performance. So if the software library has been validated and the hardware is validated in the same way, and they shouldn't require your API change. But with that, you know, IG120 reference to IG77 not possible, because if your application is using the hardware accelerator for AES encryption, you have to call passing the keys in encrypted form, and your hardware module should decrypt your key first before you can use API from there. Is that going to fly? Raise your hands if you support this, if you can tolerate this consequence. And the other thing, the second consequence, I think someone did mention to me that when you consider the hardware for disk encryption, and yeah, people want to protect the data at transit as well as at rest, right? More and more people use the hardware encryption to protect the data at rest. And a very common way of doing the hardware for disk encryption is you type in your password, okay? And then a key is going to derive from the password. It's a password-based key derivation. It's a derived key used for the AES key. So you have your control of when to decrypt or encrypt your data by providing the password. So now, how can I provide my password in the encrypted fashion? You type in password and go through your GPC and it goes to the hardware drive for the full disk encryption. If that IG120 we have to follow, it's going to block the full disk encryption from the FIPS validation. And some people also give me feedback saying, well, password is authentication data. It's not the key. IG77 covers the key, not authentication data. If that's a way out, I'm happy with that. But I think it's many places of the standard does say that you know, authentication data or the seeds of the DRBG have to be protected in the same way as the keys are protected. So I'm going to just throw out this, you know, you have your judgment. So the problem with the IG 7.7 is twofold. So it has the asymmetricity between, let's say, if you have the software versus you have the hardware module, you're talking to the application, the consumer of the module. That is one layer. The other is IG77 also talk about you have two software libraries on the same GPC. And then the equivalent scenario would be you have the two disjoint subchip modules on the same chip, okay? But the second scenario, you have two disjoint disjoint subchip on the same single chip was not even mentioned there. And the closest one you can reference is the one we have already looked at. So will the exception come to a rescue? You know, I haven't forgotten about the exception yet. It says, okay, they can communicate through a trusted path. But if you look through the standard 140-2, and here is the definition I found for the trusted path. It's referenced to a term that is defined by the common criteria. Okay, so here, TOE is not part of our human body. It's target of evaluation. A trusted path is a means by which an operator and a TOE security function can communicate with necessary confidence to support the TOE security policy. And the requirement for the trusted path only gets introduced for level 3 and level 4. So the dependency on the common criteria is very complex. FIPS 140-2 and XSB reference to the NIAP approved protection profile for operating systems. And nowadays, it does not allow EL3 or EL4 at all. So even though it seems like on the surface there is an exception provided, but the conclusion is that the exception is impossible to apply. Now, options for fixing the problem, there are two. Maybe we just update the IG120. Go back to what was originally published, right? And the updates back in September 15th, 2015, that is troublesome, That is a troublemaker. Without that update, life was as good as it can be. And just don't think about key management for the subject modules. Okay? Don't talk about it. And leave the IG7 as it is. Or, let's say, to be professional, update the IG77 first, and then update the IG120 accordingly by referencing to the updated IG. The agreement was reached at last year's CST Lab Managers meeting in November in DC, and I think all the labs agree that we want to do a good job, even though it's hard. We want to take option 2 to fix IG7.7 since it is a root cause. And for that, of course, it's not going to be one person saying. We need to create a working group to update the IG7.7. And a working group was formed in December 2015 and is chaired by Chris Bridge, Oracle. Chris, are you here? Here's Chris, our chair, okay? And it's co-chaired by me. I'm from ESSEC. We get advices from the CMVP staff. Apostle was our first contact for a while. We had some conference calls and meetings with him back in December. And with him shifting his responsibility and kind of focusing with leading the government and the industry group that he presented this morning. Steve is now our point of contact from the CSE CMVP, Canada side of the CMVP. There are 18 members in the working group, and of course some are more active than the others. Some people were listening and getting the emails, just watching what's going on. And more active members, I try to put them just fitting to this slide. Apple, Qualcomm, Aloop, Network, CGI, CoreSec, Signacom. It does not mean to be an exhaustive list, okay? So where to start if we really want to seriously updating the IG7.7 to fix the problem? We have been thinking about it. It's not easy and not ideal. So the standard 140-2 views the physical boundary of the crypto module as the cryptographic boundary. And I cite the definition here. The crypto boundary is an explicitly defined continuous parameter that establishes the physical bounds of the crypto module and contains all the hardware, software, and all firmware components of a cryptographic module. That doesn't mean that we agree with this definition, but that's a definition provided in the standard. So whatever resolution we are going to provide here, we won't be consistent with the standard itself. Okay? And the software operating system, you know, they have that physical boundary envisioned as it's the enclosure of the GPC on which the software runs. And borrowing the same concept, the physical boundary of the subchip module can also be the enclosure of the chip, the single chip on which it resides. So we think the resolution is possible to provide a uniform interpretation of the key establishment and the key entry and output for all cryptographic modules in respect to their physical boundary, okay? So if you think about the clip we watched, you know, there's some connection. It's a physical boundary that the FIX 140-2 is talking about. So with that kind of guidance in the mind, and there's two layers of asymmetricity we mentioned. So to fix one layer, we add one row here to address the internal CM module to from another internal CM hardware module through the internal path. And here we put the system on chip, and some people may not agree, say, well, that you limit yourself to be a single die. You know, it can be several die put in the same package. So good feedback, and I take the notes, and we will think about it, but up to now, that is what the working group is coming up. And then another layer of the asymmetricity, we want to make sure that just like the software modules, that within the physical boundary, keys can flow in plain text and key establish in and out. They are really not going in and out across the physical boundary. So the requirement is not applicable here. And you see the other crossing out things or adding the network port as an example. Here, when we read through the entire ID77 and we try to see if was any kind of ambiguity there, can we make anything better? But, you know, you may say it was origin like that for a good reason. That's fine. I would like to have that feedback as well. We will get the kind of proposed feedback. It's circulating around our working group, right? And if you want to have one, take a look at that. I would be more than happy to provide it to you. So for the level 1 and the level 2, we try to mimic what we allow for the software module to do and also allow it for the sub-module to do it. But that parallelism stops at level 1 and level 2 because we all know that the software level module can be validated up to level 2. And how about for the level 3 and 4 sub-modules? The working group hopes to get more guidance from the CMVP and input from the community, from all of you that are sitting at my presentation. Tentatively, the working group proposed the following. You know, you put the crossing the physical boundary of the crypto module boundary, but we have our hesitation. Is this too loose as a requirement? Because if your physical boundary is your boundary, then if keys can flow in plain text within the physical boundary, if someone on the same chip is not a good citizen, is not playing nicely, and the system on the chip can be very complex. It's like a scaled down JPC, right? Your crypto module, yes, take the keys very carefully, very precious, but once it goes to the other component, you know, be it GPS or the video streaming or modem, just get the key out of its physical boundaries, then you have no control over it. So we want to think it carefully, you know, how tight is going to be tight enough, and where is the line we need to draw, okay? Is this solution, is this resolution applicable to the ISO 19790? We don't want to have an ad hoc solution, just works for the 5140-2, and facing the future, we do want to kind of embracing the ISO 19790 to be the successor of 140-2. Well, unfortunately, that ISO has a different take on the definition of the module boundary. And I'm not going to read it through, but you can see in the ISO standard that you don't see the physical, you don't see the continuous, okay? So ISO definition definitely leaning towards the logical boundary for the module boundary. And the standard has a requirement here. And that is similar. It's basically whether it's manually established or it's automatically established. If it's manually established, then yes, for level 1, 2, plain text, 4, 3, and 4, encrypted or split procedure. And the definition provided in the ISO is much, much better. And it answers one of my questions, but in a negative way. If you see here, say the manual entry output, V direct or electronic, seems like electronic belongs to the manual, not to the automated. Yeah. So the trusted channel definition provided by ISO is so much better. It eliminates the dependency on common criteria, trusted and a safe communication link established between the crypto module and the sender or receiver to securely communicate unprotected plain text CST key component search. So the ISO, I think, has many good ingredients, good things, but it doesn't have a shift on the logical boundary. And whatever we propose to fix the problem with IG77 based on 140-2 seems not to be easily kind of adoptable there. So when we look at the software module for the ISO standard, it specifically says that even though it's the logical boundary that is taken into consideration, but still it allows you to have the CSPs, the key components, authentication data may enter into or output in the encrypted or plain text form, provided that you are meeting some requirement from the operational environment. Okay, and I'm not going to dive into deep because, okay, lots of things from the environment as well, but just lightly touch it. And the operational environment, it has the modifiable, non-modifiable, and the level 3, 4 grayed out. And people may think, well, no requirement for that. Actually, it's meaning there's no incremental requirement on the top of the level 2 for level 3 and 4. But the question remains, you know, how do this OE requirement apply to the sub-chip modules? Can sub-chip module with a non-modifiable or limited be validated at level 2? Okay? I know it's unfair. I'm here not to provide you answers, just throwing out the questions. But,
but now it's time for closing statements. Ms. Zipper Futura, you go first.
To change or not to change is a question voters must decide. Being innovative and standing up for change is what our nation is good at and proud of. Let's embrace the changes and march into the future.
Ask not whether new modules can be validated under a new standard. Ask whether validated modules can be revalidated under the new standard. My fellow Americans, if you want to remain the strongest nation in the world, please vote for me.
Please vote for the candidate of your choice at the ADSEC website or stop by the ADSEC booth in the exhibit hall. This is Wolf Lightning Rod saying thank you.
Leslinger Auditorium, Technology Town, USA are not actual places. Hercules legend, not actually a liar. ISO does not have a plan to make ISO 19790 free. Any resemblance to actual candidates or moderators is coincidental, mostly. Because 140-2 does not make systems insecure. No real person has names like these. Legend's job creation plan will reduce the unemployment rate by 0.000001%. Calling people insecure and liars is mean. Tax increase to pay for ISO fees by the U.S. government highly unlikely. Building a wall around the physical boundary won't actually help. U.S. national debt won't be affected.
Okay, so see, here, I'm not coming here to provide a solution. I'm here to seek for your answers. So please stop by our booth and log into our website, make your voice heard, vote. And we will publish the end of the voting result by the end of the conference. I think that's a nice way to collect the public opinion. But feel free, you know, send me email what you think about and how the problem needs to be solved. And we are open for discussion here. And Chris is over here. I only put my email address here. I will forward to the working group, and I will share with you, Chris. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, any questions?
Okay.
Voice wasn't picked up by your mic. The question is really one of, if I have a logical system that has multiple tenants, like in the cloud, then we also want to make certain that this doesn't encourage the transmission of plain text credentials across that boundary.
Definitely.
Even though it's within the same hardware chip, yeah. Possibly the same software level, it's just in a different virtual reality. So it's just another one. We want to make certain that we're not actively allowing the exfiltration of those same crypto secrets in the plain text by accident by allowing this easy sub-chip versus non-subchip.
Definitely, yeah, it's good input. Well, we haven't even think about cloud yet. We are looking at one small chip. But yes, when we think about the cloud in a different virtual reality and you don't want to leak the keys, the CSPs in between these two different virtual worlds, definitely. Yeah, good point. Yes, Joe.
So it seems like one of the lines on the slides implied that entropy input had to be encrypted if it came from a different source outside.
Exactly,
of
yeah. And
how do they intend, since entropy input is necessary for the encryption to start with, how do they
I don't have a question. I don't have answer for you. That's exactly the purpose of that. If it's software module, you can get the entropy from your environment, from your operating system. That's allowed. That's fine in plain text. But if you have your hardware module and have RNG built-in, and you need to get your entropy source from your larger environment, it needs to be encrypted because entropy is considered as the crypto, the CSP data. Yeah. Yeah. So these are the things that really, you know, people are having problems, have concerns. If you don't change these IDs, we are kind of hitting the wall here. Yeah. Yeah. Very good feedback as well. Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm done with my work. And
okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.